Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, I mentioned to you two books that I've written that are meditations on the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, the Sunday Gospels in the cycle. The cycle rotates every 3 years, and I've written on the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Others are wanting me to do the other Gospels as well, but for right now, those two I have done. To be like Jesus is the Gospel of Luke, and the book Deeper Conversion is the Gospel of Matthew. I mentioned these yesterday. I'm mentioning them again because I want to give you one clear direction. Read only one chapter a week. Don't sit down and read it as you would read a book, a normal book. Take the scripture and my meditation on it and ponder it every day for a week. Then move on to the next one. Or if you want to use the book when the actual cycle, it's the Sunday Gospels. It's not weekday. It's the Sunday Gospels. If you want to use it in conjunction with the cycle, you can do that. My concern is that you become more immersed in God's Word and the power of God's Word to help you to change your thinking, to help you see where you're worshiping false idols. Help you to see more clearly where you're going astray, because we all are. Without a shepherd, we perish. Do I call upon the shepherd? Do I seek him out? Do I seek to be with him? Do I listen to his voice? Do I heed his word? Do I accept his corrections? Do I express my sorrow that I have failed? This is not intended to defeat you, let alone destroy you. This is intended to free you, and it will, because it has power. God's word has power to change you. And he'll never hold it back from you if you seek him. Let's take a look at the readings today. First, from the prophet Hosea, chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. And verses 8 and 9, 1 to 4 and 8 and 9. Thus says the Lord, when Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the farther they went from me, sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. This is the heart of God. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, who took them in my arms. I drew them with human cords, with hands of love. I fostered them like one who raises an infant to his cheeks. And yet, though I stooped to feed my child, they did not know that I was their healer. We don't, brothers and sisters. We run around like sheep without a shepherd. Ask the Holy Spirit, help me to see as God sees. Help me to draw closer to him. Help me to see my own sin, that I may be rid of those obstacles to my union with God. God says through the prophet Hosea, my heart is overwhelmed. My pity is stirred. I will not give vent to my blazing anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again, for I am God and not man, the Holy One present among you. I will not let the flames consume you. In justice, he could let the flames consume us. He could. But he will not, because he is a God of mercy. When we repent, it's not to say, oh, God, God of mercy, it doesn't matter what I do. It matters very much what you do. But when we repent and turn to him, we can count on his forgiveness. Draw near to him. It's never too late. It's never too late. Never. No matter how many sins, no matter how many years, it's never too late. Turn to him. Psalm 80 says, let us see your face, Lord, and we shall be saved. O shepherd of Israel, hearken from your throne upon the cherubim. Shine forth, rouse your power. Once again, O Lord of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Take care of this vine. Take care of me. Take care of this vine and protect what your right hand has planted, the Son of Man whom you yourself made strong. Help us, Lord. Help us in our need. Cry out to him. The gospel is the gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 to 15. Jesus said to his apostles, "As you go, make this proclamation, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack for the journey or a second tunic or sandals or walking stick. The laborer deserves keep. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person in it and stay there until you leave. As you enter a house, wish it peace. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you. Whoever will not receive you or listen to your words, go outside the town or house and shake the dust from your feet. Amen, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." Sodom and Gomorrah represents the worst of sin and evil. God is willing to forgive if we come to him. If we come to him. I've said this to you before, but I'm struck by it again and again, how many people take the understanding that God is a merciful God to mean that I don't need to repent. God's going to forgive. It won't matter. You're not understanding a relationship. What mercy means is that when I come to God and I say I'm sorry for what I've done, that he forgives me. He gives me mercy. He doesn't throw his mercy away, though in some cases he seems to. He doesn't just throw his mercy out. He gives to those who turn to him, who repent, who open their hearts to receive. And yes, because God's mercy is so wide, sometimes he offers repentance without us even thinking to ask him. He forgives. He restores. He makes well. Always. He wants to. So come to him. Scripture tells us clearly, come to him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. The rest of peace of heart. The rest that comes from knowing our sins are forgiven. The rest that comes in knowing that we're loved and wanted. And we are, each and every one of us. There's a short article by a Father Moynihan in Magnificat magazine, a Dominican priest, and he writes this: God always works for the best. He always works for the good of the universe as a whole. But can I be sure that he is always working for my own personal good? Am I sure that this sickness, this temptation, this sudden injury, this failure, this pain, this fatal illness is permitted by God for my good? God is always a faithful God. I may go away from him, but he will never go away from me. As long as I love God and prove my love by obedience, then I must firmly believe whatever happens to me will be for my good. I know that everything I do or everything that happens to me, good or evil, will work out for the glory of God and the good of the whole universe. What I suffer, brothers and sisters, can bring about good for the whole universe if I offer it to him. And I also know that if I myself am willing and obedient, the hand of God is with me and things will work out for my personal good too. So I must be generous to do and to suffer everything I believe God wants me to do or to suffer. The more generous I am about this, the better I will see and accept God's guidance and care in my life. When I come to the end of my life, I see very clearly that just as I drew near to God in my obedience, He drew near to me in love. When I'm obedient to God, and I do it because I know it's the right thing to God, it's the right thing to do, He draws near to me out of love. And that's the truth. When I come to the end of my life, I shall see very clearly that just as I drew near to God in my obedience, He drew near to me in love. If I have been truly faithful, I shall see how God guided me all through my life and how He directed every event of my life. I shall see how His hand touched me, and I shall see how He lovingly and wisely arranged each happening, each encounter with others, each situation, everything, my whole life long. Everything, brothers and sisters, is under the hand of God. Everything. If we're seeking Him, if we're desiring to follow Him, if we're being obedient to Him, doesn't mean we won't suffer. But even our suffering is in His hands, and He can make it work for the glory of the Father, for our good, for the salvation of the world. He can take your little suffering that you think nobody knows about or would care about if they did know. That offered to God can be a blessing for me and a blessing for many. I shall see, says Father Moynihan, I shall see how He lovingly and wisely arranged each happening, each encounter with others, each situation, everything, my whole life long. At last, I shall understand how every event, every person, every situation in my life was a necessary part of God's work in me. See, we're so close to ourselves and we're so close to the situation. All we want to do is get rid of what hurts us. And of course, whatever you can do to alleviate it, of course, do it. But brothers and sisters, know that often God allows the suffering because He wants to draw us closer to Himself. He wants to use us. And if we're not drawn by our own decisions, by our own obedience to the Word of God, He oftentimes allows us to be drawn to Him by suffering. And I know suffering sometimes makes people feel like there must not be a God. He loves you. That's what you have to get, as I say, into our thick skulls, that you are loved, that God knows every detail of your life, that God wants to bring you to Him, that God loves you and is willing to pay any price and has paid every price to save you for all eternity. Please, please allow the grace of conversion, deeper conversion, turning you not just from evil to good, but turning you to greater and greater good. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.